This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, DFW. Sean and RJ here, 105.3 The Fan. We've reached the 9 o'clock hour. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, Peyton and Aiden alongside. We got Brett Boone coming up at 9:20. Talk about the Rangers' start to their season. Get the bats going. The bats got going a little bit yesterday. A little bit. Six runs. I'll take it. You're going to win most games if you score six. But they lose. So we will talk about that with Brett Boone coming up at 9:20. But special guest time, Bobby Belt.
Yes, it has been a show full of football, football, football. We just did Below the Belt. We had Dane Brugler earlier, and we got a great opportunity to talk with Adam Schefter. We recorded this on Tuesday, and we're playing it back for you now. So this was our conversation with Adam Schefter yesterday. Joining us now on the D&M Leasing Hotline is ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. He is joining us today to talk about a cause that is very close to his heart, which is early screening of type 1 diabetes ahead of T1D Day on April 15th. We're going to get into that with him. But we're also going to talk a little bit about the NFL draft, Micah Parsons, Aaron Rodgers, Tush Push, lots of topics that we're going to get into here with Adam Schefter. Adam, thanks so much for joining us today.
Bobby, RJ, how you doing today?
We're fantastic. So first question, I just want to kind of jump off the Brian Schottenheimer hire that occurred this offseason for the Dallas Cowboys. What was your initial reaction to that? Were you surprised by the hire yourself? What do you think the league reaction was to that, and how prepared he is for this job?
Well, it was a Friday night, and I remember my phone ringing, and it happened to be Jerry Jones. And he starts going off about how Brian Schottenheimer's always been an assistant coach. He's always going to be an assistant coach, but you know, and he goes on and on about Brian Schottenheimer, the assistant coach, and he stops, he pauses, he goes, but you know what? Brian Schottenheimer's an assistant coach no more. He's now the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And that was a big moment for Brian Schottenheimer, a big moment for the Dallas Cowboys. Might have surprised some people, but it certainly sounded like that was the way Jerry was going all along, and he just made it official that night, got the deal done. They figured out the numbers. And now Brian Schottenheimer is, in fact, as Jerry Jones said that night, the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Is that normal for an owner to call you to break that news, or is that not?
It's always welcome. It's always encouraged. It's always invited. So anytime an owner wants to call to give me the news of their hiring of a head coach, I invite them all to call anytime.
You don't have to two-source that one.
Yeah, nope.
Exactly. That's set up that one. When you look at specifically the reaction to it, because there was a lot of, like you mentioned, he's had as much preparation as possible. I'm sure you've had interactions with Brian Schottenheimer over the years, just as long as he's been in the league. It seems like there's kind of a changing sense, at least from fans here in Dallas, like, all right, maybe we're willing to give this a shot. He seems to be saying the right things. He seems to be building a strong staff. Is there a case to be made that a guy like Schottenheimer, who's been in the Jets, been around the game for as long as he has, is probably better prepared to deal with all the things that come with Dallas than even other guys who have head coaching experience?
Well, he's been around so long, and he grew up the son of a head coach. He knows how this works, and I know it's a different day and age, and I know we're talking about media presence being as large as it's ever been, and social media playing a larger role, and certainly Marty Schottenheimer didn't have to deal with social media, but coaching football is coaching football. You know, and Brian grew up at the lap of his father. He's watched all of this for years. He's watched this longer than most head coaches have been around the sport. So I can't imagine that that doesn't serve him well over time.
Talk with Adam Schefter here from ESPN. The NFL draft just days away. I'm curious, before we get to anything specific about the Cowboys on the draft, what is your overall take on the way things are setting up with the top 10? We've heard a lot about the Cam Ward potential with the Titans, or would the Titans potentially trade off? Seems like there's some growing buzz about Travis Hunter at number two, the question of where Shedeur Sanders falls. What's kind of the story to you as we head into the draft?
Well, I think it will be where Shedeur Sanders winds up going, because it certainly feels like Cam Ward's going to go number one. More and more recently, it has felt like Travis Hunter's definitely square and play at number two. We'll see if the Browns go in that direction ultimately, because for a while it seemed like they might be quarterbacked and it might be Abdul Carter. Now it's a case where basically they've got a situation where, you know, it might be now Travis Hunter two. And then that's the question of where Shedeur winds up going. And I think when we look at it and survey the landscape, I think it's 9 is in play, the New Orleans Saints. I think Pittsburgh, 21 is in play. I think we could see a team trade back up to get in there. So there are a few options. But to me, those are the places that he could go.
How long before the draft, or how far out does that kind of silly season, you know, kind of end, where you start to buy things that you're hearing versus this is just talking? We're trying to posture to have a player, have a market drop or rise on a player.
Well, I think it's always going on. Like, again, I mentioned the Cleveland Browns for a while. You know, there were a lot of people around the league that thought they were going quarterback. Then they thought they were going Abdul Carter. Now the feeling is it's Travis Hunter, and we'll see where they ultimately settle in. And I've said this to players over the years, you know, in the lead up to the draft, over time, players are a little bit like stocks. You see a stock go up, you see them go down, maybe not as dramatic as the stock market these days.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But you're seeing player stock rise and fall over nothing. And that's what happens. You know, like a player's hot, or his value is rising, and then sometimes it sinks, sometimes it keeps rising, sometimes it's sinking all along. Like, you know, when we started this, it felt like Shedeur Sanders was the top-rated quarterback. So I guess you could say his stock has dropped some, but he's still going to be a one. He's still going to be a high pick. He's still going to be probably the second quarterback pick. But, you know, I would have thought all year long he would have been number one, and something changed along the way.
Adam Schefter joining us here, 105 through the Fan. We are maddened by how the Cowboys seem to operate. They just operate at their own pace. They look at the market their own way. What is the talk around the league about how the Cowboys do business with their contracts and stuff?
I think there's probably a lot more talk within Dallas about how the Cowboys operate than there is across the league. I think people across the league are kind of concerned about their own jobs. They've got enough to worry about without having to worry about how another team operates. Everybody's always paying attention to Dallas. There's always more eyeballs on the Cowboys because they're the Cowboys, but I don't know that it's like people saying, well, what are they doing? You know, if we're going to look at it last offseason, yeah, I think people felt like they should have done CD and Dak sooner, but they didn't, and they got them done. And now I guess you're leading up to Micah Parsons, and, you know, him and Jerry, Micah and Jerry were having conversations, and it certainly sounded like they were getting closer to a deal, but the agent wasn't involved, and now the agent's going to be involved, as an agent is on these deals of that magnitude. So that deal may get done sooner than Dax or CDs, and we'll see how it all works out.
How often in your experience with dealing with things around the league, we talked about, were there a lot of hurt feelings with Todd France, for instance, on Dax's last contract negotiation? And is that why maybe that was a tough negotiation, things like that? Do things ever get a little more like, I don't like this agent, or I don't like this front office, and so I'm going to be a little tenser? Or do they generally just say, this is business, and we're going to approach it that way?
I think both. I mean, I think sometimes agents rub teams the wrong way. Teams rub agents the wrong way. That happens. I don't know if that, you know, maybe that happened on the Dak deal. I don't know. But that's a natural, that's the job of an agent, is to kind of extract the best deal, which goes against what the team wants. So inevitably there's going to be disagreements between those two sides. It's almost set up for them not to agree. And that's just a byproduct of the way the system is. But I don't think that's unusual. Like, we could go through any big contract negotiation. You think the Bengals were really pleased with Rocky Arsenault, who represent? I don't think so. So, you know, that's just the way it kind of operates.
Do you anticipate, obviously they're at a standstill right now. Do you think that you would anticipate, say, hey, just like other deals that the Cowboys have done in the past, Micah Parsons would probably by week one, they'd say, let's just go ahead and wrap this up? Or is it just too unpredictable given where things are at right now?
No, I would say that eventually both sides will figure that deal out and get it done. That would be my guess. There's so much money involved, and you know, Dallas is going to want to keep him. He's going to want to stay. You know, I'm sure, like, when you're talking about $40+ million a year or whatever the number is, you know, why are you ever stepping foot on a football field until that deal is done? So to me, they'll figure out a way to get that done because the stakes are just too great not to.
Adam, Bobby is he's anti-tush-push. He wants that thing banned. I'm cool with it. I would like to see the Lions playoff seeding proposal pass through and the change. Is either likely to happen?
Yeah, well, I think the tush-push is on the way out. I think that when they table that, it's just a setup to get more votes to be able to overturn it and change the language on it so that I don't think you'll see the tush-push in the National Football League in 2025. That's my guess as we go into the May meeting in Minneapolis. The playoff seeding, it just seems like that's very extreme, and not to say it can't happen. That would surprise me more. Like I said, the tush-push is on the way out. The playoff seeding, I think there's probably a lot more work there to be done before any decisions are made.
Before we get into this outreach that you're doing, trying to get people screened, I'm curious your thoughts on what the Cowboys are looking at as they head into the draft. They've got the 12th pick, a lot of uncertainty ahead of them. Where do you think they are targeting right now, whether it be just a position or if maybe there's a couple players that stand out?
Well, I think when you're the Dallas Cowboys, you've got to find a way to somehow come up with another cornerback, because there are some questions there. I think that they certainly could use another running back, as everybody knows, and it's a deep running back draft. So this is the right draft to need a running back, and I still think they'll add a wide receiver by the time draft weekend comes and goes. So those, to me, are three positions that stand out. They're far from the only ones. Certainly they could use another offensive lineman. Certainly they could use more defensive line. Like, you could use help everywhere, let's be honest. But if I'm looking at three positions that stand out to me, corner, running back, wide receiver.
Week one of next year, is Rodgers in the league?
I would think so, yeah. My guess would be that Aaron Rodgers is in the league, but you know, everybody's waiting on his answer, and we'll see what he ultimately decides. But right now, the only opportunity is in Pittsburgh. I'm sure he would have liked it if Minnesota had opened up. Maybe in time it still will. But right now, Pittsburgh is the one opportunity, and I would think that eventually the two sides will figure out a way to get that done.
April 15th, it's not just tax day, it's also T1D day, and I know this is something that's very important to you, early screening for type 1 diabetes. Talk to us a little bit about what you're doing today.
Yeah, my wife, Shari, is a type 1 diabetic, and obviously I see firsthand what it's like for her to manage this disease. And so what we would like people to do is talk to their doctor about type 1 diabetes and ask them about screening. You know, screening an unexpected type 1 diabetes diagnosis can have serious impact. So if you have more time to prepare, that can make a big difference. And that's why we believe screening for type 1 is so important. If you can do it early, it gives you valuable time to prepare. And yeah, I've been engaged by Sanofi to deliver the message, but it's really important when I get to watch my wife on a daily basis. Early information is currency. That's how I make my living, getting information. And I want people to do the same thing when it comes to their health, so they can just go visit screen4type1.com to learn more. That's screen4type1.com to learn more. And I appreciate you guys asking about that ahead of April 15th.
Absolutely, coming up here in just under a week, and the NFL draft coming up here shortly, where you'll see Adam Schefter all over TV on ESPN covering it. Adam, thanks so much. We appreciate you.
Bobby, RJ, I appreciate having me today. Thank you very much.
Adam Schefter on 105 Through the Fan. Good to talk to him.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time we had him on.
It
was before you.
Yeah, we haven't had him on since I've been on. I know that.
It may have been at a Super Bowl.
That would make sense.
In fact, I'm positive it was at a Super Bowl somewhere.
Interesting stuff there, though, on the he thinks that Micah could get done quicker than CD and Dak did, and he thinks the tush push is done.
Well, if Micah gets done quicker than Dak and CD, that's because they, you know, both want them in camp.
Yeah.
And then the tush push. And I've got a little stuff. I got a little something for tomorrow on the Lions proposal of playoff.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Receding. That might lead us to think that it actually is going to happen sooner rather than later. Brett Boone, Odyssey Baseball Insider, joins the show next on 105 The Fan. Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece coming up in about 20 minutes from now. It is Luca night at the American Airlines Center. Got a Ranger game at 1:20 today. You can catch it right here on The Fan. 12:30 is the pregame. 1:20 is the first pitch. They look to avoid the sweep in Chicago, and as we are doing this every other week, every other Wednesday at this time, we are joined by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls presented by Grainger. Supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger, the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Brett's the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. Morning, Brett. How we doing?
Morning. We're doing all right. It's Masters week. I'm always good Masters week.
Yeah. It's a great week, isn't it? I love it. Don't bother me.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Exactly. Somebody will, though.
Yeah.
I got enough people running around. Somebody will bother me.
Yeah. Anyway. There's no doubt about that one. So the Rangers offense is like, you know, they scored 6 runs last night, but it's been kind of hit or miss. Some of the guys at the top of the lineup, like, you know, Simeon is not torn the cover off the ball. And we were talking about, you know, is he starting to age a little bit? Is he starting to decline? But when you started off a season struggling, like, how quickly did that get into your head, like a rough start to a season?
Well, I think the more time that goes on, the more time, like, you do get under your belt, you navigate it a little better. You've been there, done that before. You have that experience. You trust the fact that you'll come out of it. When I was young and I get off to a tough start, I'd go crazy. I'd be pulling my hair out. When's this going to stop? Eventually you learn through, it's trial and error like everything else. But Simeon's, you know, I've seen Simeon, it seems like, struggle a lot in different times in his career. He's as poised a guy as I've seen. I mean, he just doesn't let you know what's going on. He's professional. He goes about his business. He's going to be fine. Yeah, he's not getting any younger. He's getting a little bit older. But I think the bat speed's still there, and he'll come out of this eventually. And like I said, with time, it doesn't mean he's not hurting inside right now going, I want to get it going. We all want to get off to great starts. Some guys are traditional fast starters. Some guys are finishers. But anybody that tells you we don't mind getting off to a slow start, easing into the season, I'd be lying. We want to get off to a hot start and be, as you know, put up the numbers as good as we can, because you're going to hit lulls throughout the summer. Brett, Simeon and Seager are kind of the keys and have been kind of the two big guys in this lineup for the last 4 or 5 years. And Seager, if you look at his numbers, he's not off. I mean, I put him in the MVP category on a yearly basis if healthy. So he's off to a slow start too. But this Texas team right now, 8-4, and they're really not hitting on all cylinders at all. Be right there atop the division with the Angels, 7-3. And I don't think the Angels they're off to a great start, but I don't think that's going to be a longstanding thing.
Brett, when you look at, you know, for instance, with a guy like Marcus Simeon, where we're asking the question, all right, is this just a slow start, or does this have to do with, you know, him aging or things breaking down like we were just talking about there? What are the things that you would look at and say, okay, if I saw these things here, those would be concerning indicators that tell me this isn't just a slow start. That may be more of a decline.
Well, I just look at his bat speed, and for a lot of us, Our bats to be still there. I remember at the end of my career, when I was playing, I still had bat speed. I still had plenty of bat speed, but it wasn't that. It was my legs. My legs were like jello. They went from these young, spry, jump out of bed and do a backflip to it's work to get to my position 9 innings a night. And I'm not kidding when I say that. I mean, it's just going back and forth, cut and slice. And he plays a very demanding position when you play the middle infield, anywhere up the middle, second, short, center field. That's very demanding, very much so on your legs. Simeon, who knows, one day might make a position change. But that's what I'd look for. When your legs start telling you, that's when you're getting to that age. It hit me at about 35, 36 years old, where overnight I went from this young man I thought I was to an old man.
But you could tell, you could tell that you were starting to lose it. And then there's the, you got to admit it to yourself.
It takes a while to admit. I'll give you a quick story. I was probably 31, 32 years old in my prime. I'm out at a function. I'm talking to Robbie Alomar, who I grew up. That was my guy. I mean, he dominated the position for 10 years and he was off to a terrible start. And I said, Robbie, what's wrong with you? You know, he was not the Robbie Alomar I was used to. And he said, Booney, you'll see. It's like I got to age 35, 36, and I got old overnight. Well, I left that little meeting thinking to myself, that'll never happen to me. I train harder. I eat better. And I swear it was like, I forget if it was 35 or 36. It was like clockwork. I got old and I didn't want to admit it. We never want to admit it. But just the little things, getting out of bed, moving, going to my position. I never thought going to my position, but when you really notice it was in batting practice, I could usually kind of do what I wanted with the ball. I just, let me test right center field, hit a few out of right center. All of a sudden, I was forcing everything. And now it's like, wow, I'm not, it's not going as far to right center. Now I've got to help it. And then I get longer and tighter and it goes less. So that's where you start to notice it. It's more psychological than anything else. It was for me at least, but it's the legs, legs, legs. Bat speed stays there. I still have bat speed, but my legs standing in the box, that's a different story.
Brett Boone joining us here, 105.3. The Fan Insider Call is brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. It's cold. They're at Wrigley this week. It was like 15 degrees the other night. It was like 30 last night. It's going to be, you know, just as cold today, maybe a little rain. Is that the worst, playing in like those kind of temperatures, that you mentally you've lost that game mentally before you even play it?
Well, I don't know if you've lost the game, because the other side's got to play in the same conditions. But I remember some early April games in Wrigley in my career. There, what sticks out in my mind is Wrigley Field in Detroit, the old Detroit Stadium. The thing that separates kind of Wrigley from the rest is Fenway to a degree too. You know, in the big leagues, you have these big decks and they're two and they're three and they're four stories high. Well, Wrigley Field's not. It's that old school. It's wide open. That's why the wind is such a factor. Wrigley, it's either blowing out or it's blowing in, but it's blowing. And it gets down into the 30s, and then you add that wind. That's what makes it absolutely miserable. Baseball's not supposed to be played in the cold weather, but I remember some games there, and you do whatever you can. They'll have those heaters in the dugouts for you that they supply. But I remember some cold days there. Now, you kind of grin and bear it and just know that the opponent's going through the same thing.
Brett, has the magic of the torpedo bat worn off at all? Or do you...
Hey, isn't it great? Man, just poof, and it's gone. A couple guys using the torpedo bats go 0 for a couple days in a row, and the whole thing is gone. Yeah, the torpedo bat, I still think it's the way of the future. These custom bats, they're not going to be called torpedoes, but they're going to be called whatever the individual goes in and goes into the computer, and the computer picks whatever bat works best for you. That's what it's going to be called. It's going to be called whatever your model is. But I think the technology is something really interesting and something I never thought about. And I think it's going to be a great thing. And I think in 15 years from now, it's not going to be called the torpedo bat, but every big league player is going to have their own specific special made for their swing bat.
So I heard a lot of guys, a lot of former big leaguers, from Will Clark to, anybody, talk about how this bat is basically rewarding guys for not being able to hit the ball on the barrel. Is that fair, or is that we're just overthinking it here?
I don't think that's fair. Here's what I think. There are so many models out there right now. If you went into Louisville Slugger, which is not the biggest name bat company anymore. When I was coming up, it was Louisville, it was Rawlings. But Louisville's got 100 years in the baseball industry building bats. If you go into their archives and say, how many models do you have? There's probably 80 models. Thin handle, thick handle, more meat in the middle of the bat, more meat at the end of the bat. You could pick any model you want. So this torpedo bat probably exists in a model that Louisville Slugger has made either currently or in the past. All it is it's not like the sweet spot's getting bigger. They're just moving the sweet spot around. If you want a lower sweet spot, use the lower one. If you want a higher sweet spot, do that. And it's a matter of centimeters. There's so many different models made already. I mean, I played with a guy that used a long barrel. Well, the barrel went all the way down, almost not to your hands, but below the label. It was a thinner barrel, but nevertheless, it was a barrel. That fit his eye. That worked for him. Some guys use these skinny handles and all the barrel was at the end of the bat. It's all preference. It's all what works for you. It's all what's good to the eye. It's like a PGA Tour player looking down at his driver. If he likes what he sees psychologically, he's probably going to hit a good shot. Same with a baseball player. If I look down at a bat, and it doesn't matter who the guy is, Edgar Martinez, I always use an example, Hall of Fame, one of the best right-handed hitters of my time. I grab his bat before the game, look at it, and go, I don't know how you do it with this thing. Well, he grabbed my bat, look at it, go, I could never get a hit with your bat, Booty. That's what I'm talking about, the individualization. So to say that this torpedo is cheating in any way is you'd have to go through the history of all these different bats. Okay, well, is a cup at the end of the bat cheating? Is non-cup at the end of the bat cheating? It's just the style of bat.
Are the Atlanta Braves in trouble?
Wow. I don't think so. And the only reason I say that, I think that's a really good team. Riley's off to a terrible start. Olson, mediocre. You're getting Acuna back. You got Murphy back yesterday. And the key is you're getting Spencer Strider back in a few weeks. You lost Max Fried. No, I don't think they're in trouble, but it's going to be a little more uphill than I thought. I still think they're a really good team. I still think they're the second best team in that division. I still think it's the Phillies, Atlanta Braves, Mets third. Mets are off to a good start. I don't think they're in trouble at this point. No, I don't. I think that's a really good team that just got off to a bad start playing a hot team in the San Diego Padres and then having to go up to LA and play mm-hmm. the best team in the LA Dodgers to get off to the start they did. But I'll tell you, there's guys looking around at each other going, all right, we better start winning some games right now. You don't want to get too far behind the eight ball.
Yeah, it's every team's going to lose 8 of 10. He just started out losing 8 of 10. Like, but it's over the course of the year, every team's going to drop 8 of 10, it seems like, around the sport. So.
Yeah. Snicker, the head of that ship, he's one of the best out there, one of the most poised guys. And somebody, when the ship's going down, you look to, he's going to be as cool-headed as they come.
Booney, thanks so much. Talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, guys.
Brett Boone, Odyssey MLB Insider. Insider calls presented by Grainger. Supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger, the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. He is the host of the Brett Boone podcast on Odyssey, so check that out. Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece is next on 105 through the Fan. It is Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece. Good morning, gentlemen.
Kevin, what up? Corey,
how are we doing today?
We're good, guys. Some people are saying that there might be a rain delay or a problem with the Rangers game today. Weather looks fine to me, though.
Looks good to me. I don't think we're going to have a rain delay here.
It's beautiful outside.
The game is in Chicago.
Yeah.
What do you really?
Look gave it away? Look outside. The skies are clear, Kevin.
They should probably put a roof on Wrigley then. That's everybody's solution, right? That's the solution when they don't like the climate during a baseball game. They just say, let's put a roof on it.
Put a roof on Texas. Never open it. You don't like how hot it is.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, but we're looking south. I don't think we could see Chicago from here.
We need to look north.
If we look north, we might be able to see it.
Then you think you could see him?
I'm looking northeast right now.
I mean, it's tall building. It's a flat earth.
I was going to say, if you were in Chicago, you don't want to look south.
It's clear all the way that direction, Kevin. I can see it right
there. Very, very clear.
You just looked at the wall.
No, I'm looking out a window.
That's a window.
Yeah. That's a window right there. You don't know where my eyes are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess you don't know where they are.
in your head.
We got Bruce Bochy coming up at 10:20 today.
Again, second day in a row.
Well, this will be
the first.
Come
on yesterday.
FC Dallas owner Dan Hunt will join us at 10:40. Mavs beat writer for the morning news, Mike Curtis, will join us at 11:40. And then Jared Sandler hop on at noon till about 12:08.
So what is the plan? What is the protocol here? Let's say we get to 12:30.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the game is... They don't think it's going to be on. Are you guys sticking around?
So we did a show bet with our brackets also, and the winner gets to do a show by themselves.
Oh,
so Alec won.
Oh,
so
wow.
We're going to go, and then Alec will get that
great news.
Oh, hell yeah, Alec.
Yeah, that hour and a half by himself.
Nice,
so it'll be nice. I'm looking
nice
forward to that.
Nice.
Is he prepared? Are you prepped for that, Alec?
He says no, he's not.
He all right,
no.
Well.
He had me show prep for him. I just gave him all the content and said, just say all of these things when you go on the air. And
okay. I don't think that's good. I guess we'll stick around.
Okay. All right, very nice, very nice. It's nice and toasty warm in here as opposed to what it is in Wrigley.
Who would you least trust at this station to just be like, hey, just you by yourself for the next hour and a half?
Oh, me. I would least trust myself.
I think Peyton, I think if we had Peyton do an hour and a half, that could be a problem. Because I think he would just start going, like, I think he'd get a little loopy by the last 30 minutes and just like, all right, my filter's completely gone now and I'm going to say whatever.
I would run out of things to say in about 90 seconds.
Not even, so you can't do 90 minutes because you'd run out in 90 seconds?
Yeah. No chance I could have 90. I don't have 90 minutes of content. I do a 5-minute Canada review and I'm sucking wind.
How long are the cookie reviews?
Yeah, this one was 9 minutes. This last one was 9 minutes.
For one cookie?
No, it was 6.
Oh. Wow.
It was 6 cookies.
Which flavors?
Let's see. There was a cookie dough. Ooh. There was a snickerdoodle. Okay. There was a yellow cake. Yellow cake. There was a pink, pink confetti cake.
Oh.
Fetty wop.
Yeah, there was a, some s'mores thingy. It was.
Where from?
It was Crumble. I thought it was the best one they had.
Crumble's amazing.
Why do you describe the flavors as thingies? You just did that on a couple of them. You said s'mores thingy. Why not just say s'mores cookie?
Because I don't know what it was. It was something else. It was something added. It wasn't just s'mores. It may not even have been s'mores.
This morning I said my hand type thingies, and Kevin knew exactly what I was talking about.
We know what we're talking about. We say thingies.
I know. I just figured
thingies is a hand.
We already knew what thingy we were talking about, which was cookies. Yeah. So I just didn't know.
The Stars lost that thingy last night.
Oh, my God.
Good Lord.
Make a comparison to baseball. Is that you're up 10-0 in the ninth inning and you lose?
Yeah.
It feels
actually, I think it's more than that. I think you're up 12-0 maybe in the ninth inning and you lost. Like, this has never happened in the history of the NHL.
No.
So maybe 14-0. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You had the empty net goal. That's the nail in the coffin. That's it. That shuts it down.
Yeah. I like the 12 because 12 is you're still 3 hits away. It's 3 grand slams.
True.
Like the grand slam is the most you can get and same thing with a goal, right? I would say it's 12 is the right way to go.
Okay.
It seems impossible to get that many grand slams because after one, coach is going, all right, you're out.
Yeah. After one,
the next pitcher goes
bases
and does
are
it
empty.
Again. Yeah.
Right, and you got to start all over again.
And it happens miserably.
We have gotten 2 grand slams in an inning. We've never gotten 3, though, have we?
Yeah, Tatis.
Yeah, Tatis did it by himself.
He did it by himself.
Daddy Tatis.
Not daddy.
Not the owner.
Don't.
Then did he grand slam anybody else after that?
Stop. Is that?
And then get a membership to Augusta?
No, not that. I heard you're breaking him down about that. Yeah, I didn't know that the internet had thoughts about Fernando Tatis Sr. and Joe Buck.
Stop.
If you just look it up, it's interesting.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Do I need to look this up now?
No, probably not at this moment.
But you know what? There are people that are driving right now that are like, hold on, what's he talking about? And now they're going to go look at it.
I didn't write the story or the forum. I just read it.
Oh, it was off the same picture for Tatis. It was Chan Ho Park on both of them. Interesting.
Oh, interesting.
He likes to do that, huh?
I just looked up the rumor you're talking about.
So maybe he had 3 grand slams. Don't know.
Oh, no. Stop it.
I'm just asking the questions, RJ. You should support
you know,
that. I don't know. I feel like Junior disproves that.
Oh, please.
What?
I feel like Junior disproves that rumor.
I disagree with that.
Hey,
I don't know what Choppy's Googling. He clearly has no idea.
And neither, he found that Winnie the Pooh thing.
Neither do the listeners. So
Tim McMahon has an article
out
this morning just laying out all the ways that the Mavericks have cost themselves, and I want to read two sections from it.
What is that article titled?
It is called Luka Doncic Still Adapting Two Months After Trade to Lakers. But from this article, this is some of what Tim McMahon wrote about.
Oddly formatted.
Talking about the decision to trade Luka away, he says, it's a decision that will probably cost this franchise nine figures over the next several years as the Mavs are projected to lose dozens of millions in revenue this season due to dwindling crowds, plummeting merchandise sales, and sponsors severing ties with the franchise.
Nine figures? Isn't that over $100 million?
It is. Also, why did he go with dozens of millions, which is not a saying, as opposed to tens of millions?
Well, if he also said nine figures, why didn't he just say hundreds of millions as opposed to dozens of millions?
I don't. You guys just counted in dozens when you were making the MLB.
Yeah, but I'm with Hagee here. I've never seen a dozens of millions.
That's true.
I've never seen a dozen million either.
Jump a little bit further down. Team sources told ESPN that the Mavs had also lined up lucrative sponsorship deals for Wednesday's game with multiple companies that Doncic endorses. So you had that divorce from those sponsors. It's like, well, hell yeah, hey, we'll tie it back in with him coming back to town. Those deals fell apart after Doncic's camp declined to give its blessing, pointedly noting that he now plays for the Lakers. Is this the dumbest franchise in professional sports?
It is now.
It is now.
That's pretty stupid.
But I'll tell you, man, they have got to go full heel tonight. They've got to do a montage of justice technicals.
That's honestly the play. People would respect this franchise more if they just said it was not about basketball. It was 100% personal, and we didn't like him.
Yeah.
And so we traded him.
Yeah. Man, dude.
You're not lying to me anymore.
Do the heel turn.
It's
just
stupid.
It's
stupid, but I at least respect that you're not telling me it's about basketball anymore, which is insulting.
Who was the wrestler? That was like everybody. They just kept
AJ Styles.
Sick of them. I think it wasn't Randy Orton, right? They were just like they didn't like. Was it Cena?
Rulon Gardner. I mean,
John Cena just turned into.
No, he just turned. But like even when he was like a face, like they just they got bored with him. Was it Cena?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what they need to do. They are like just go full on, full on.
Just, like I mean, everything you've done has been so passive aggressive and just. It's been the wrong turn everywhere. And we were talking about it earlier. There's nothing you can do tonight to win. There's no tribute you can do that people are like, well, that was nice from the Mavericks.
Yeah.
People are going to criticize it no matter what. If you don't do one, they're going to be like, that's super offensive. If you throw a video up there, they're going to go, well, that was shade. You threw that picture in there. That clearly was a subliminal message. There's nothing they can do tonight to win. Outside of the game, there's nothing they can do to win in the court of public opinion tonight. Everything they do will be destroyed.
What would you rather happen tonight? He scores 190 points
and 190
points at every single person that he hates the whole time, or he doesn't play at all.
Oh man,
why would I want?
You have a choice.
190, 100%, 190.
See, Luka would never do that because Luka has the upper hand here. If he said I'm not playing, that's his middle finger to the fans.
I agree with that.
So that is a non-starter. He's got the fans in his hand. He has two fan bases. He has the Lakers fan base and he has the Mavs fan base. Those are both his fan bases. He has the upper hand. He can't do that.
Run the ball. You're up 40, run the ball. That's all he's got to do. So him sitting out and making it petty about the fans, he loses an advantage.
I want to see 101 points. 101.
Who's up more? Luka on the Mavericks or the Stars when they were up 5-2 last time?
Luka. By far.
So this would be a bigger comeback from the Mavs.
Yeah, this is up 180 to nothing and right. Losing.
I feel like I'm getting I feel like I'm getting called out on a group chat that I'm on.
Oh no.
So they sent a comment. So you know how like when you
see it to Tavares's hoodie?
It's not. Okay. But I have you're with me on that, right?
No.
No?
It's cold, dude. Wear a hoodie.
Who cares? You're a professional athlete. You're not 9 years old.
It's cold out there, man.
9-year-olds wear hoodies in the outfield. Not center fielders for Major League Baseball.
I don't think he likes the cold.
I don't care. You be a professional athlete.
Or be nothing.
Or be nothing. if you want to wear a hoodie, stay in the clubhouse. Like, if you're out there, you can't have a hoodie on.
It's cold.
Yeah, I know it's cold. I know. You're a professional athlete.
How are you supposed to stay warm out on the field?
Run around.
Hustling.
Catch that ball.
You're standing in the outfield for like 20 minutes while a pitcher's throwing one to the backstop.
Catch the ball.
What are those knit things you pull over
your face? That's fine. Wear the shiesty. I don't care.
Like, that's okay? Why is that okay?
Because it's like everyone wears them. He's the only one.
And
it's,
nobody can see your face.
He's a trailblazer.
It's, I don't know who you know is. What it is? Leave that for D3. 6 feet apart. That's what D3 kids do. Like, no offense. That's what you see on D3 football.
How often do they ever play in this cold of weather, though?
It doesn't matter. I can't.
That's probably all he had. He was like, is there anything else I can wear? And they were just like, this hoodie. And he was like, this is stupid, but I'm going to do it.
All right. Wait, what was I saying? What I was
being called out for?
I'm getting called out. And I'm not directly getting called out, but I do this. When you leave your vehicle and you press the lock button.
Yep.
All right. Do you hit it again like 30 feet later?
Yep. Double two tap. Times, every time.
I do too.
It's like a hitman.
So I hit it, and then I like 30 feet later, I'm like, did I hit it?
Just in case.
And I hit it again.
Mm-hmm.
And well, my buddy's just calling people out for that. Because he's like, I just saw somebody honk their horn like six times, and he finally yelled out, it's locked.
Okay, hey, that's too much.
That person might have OCD.
We discussed this with Eric Kendricks in Oxnard, as a matter of fact. And he said he does it. Walks 5 feet, does it again. When he gets to the door of the facility, even though he knows,
he does it just in case.
Yeah, he's like, even when I get in the building, one more time just in case.
To go along with that, were you ever afraid that if you push your garage door opener, even though you were nowhere near your house, that it opened your garage door?
I almost turned.
Push it again to close it.
I did that like 20 miles from my house, almost turned around. Call my neighbor. Hey, can you just go check real quick,
please? Thanks to Tolbert Garage, I've been able to. I have a camera in my garage door opener, so I know if my garage door is open or closed.
Inside,
And he'll like, I'll swing by.
Yeah, did you? Kobe's always got it taken care of.
But did you, if you ever hit it and then you're like, I got to hit it again to close it, did you ever go, wait, did I hit it two or three times? And then now you're stuck in this loop of, I don't know which one is
Bobby,
open or
that
closed.
That has definitely happened to me before. I have also struggled standing at the gas pump to decide which number was going to be off if they were both at a round, at like a close to a round spot. I have problems like that.
What?
Yeah.
What number is acceptable? Even numbers or odds?
But like if it's $9.99 and 10 gallons. I mean, this is obviously
$9.99. Where are you getting
$30?
Where are you getting gas that's $9.99?
9.99 gallons and $30. Do I need it to be 10 gallons even at sacrifice of the $30? That is a
so society hasn't conditioned you enough yet on the 99 with like prices that you view those as both even.
And you know what? I stop people every time, depending on how close I am to them. Because if I don't know them, I'm not going to stop you. But it's like, my wife does that all the time. It's only $5, $6, $5.99. Mm-hmm. It's like five. No.
No, it's
actually $6. Closer to
$6.
Actually,
you know why they seven. Do these prices.
Closer to $7 than it is to $5.
The amount of people that have just given away that extra dollar, and we've made so many billionaires out of that extra dollar.
Yes.
Are you embarrassed?
And it's the same thing with the gas.
Because
like,
of tax.
The gas is, it's $2.98.
Yeah,
and they're
that's
like,
stupid.
Good, because if it's $2.99, I would say F you and go to the Chevron.
$2.98, baby. KC Masterpiece is next.